Hey, this is Roxanne Shante, and of course you know I am listening to Maximum Hip Hop on a show called Down with the Kings with my man Oddman. Please believe it.
Turn up the bass!
You're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
Hey, what's going on? It's the Oddman, and you got it locked to Down with the Kings. Thanks, as always, for joining us. And I need to send a special thanks to my next guest. She is a hip-hop legend from back in the day. She, I'm going to get her story, how she got discovered, because at the age of 14, she jumped on the scene and hasn't looked back since. Of course, I'm talking about none other than Roxanne Shante. What's happening, Rox?
Hey, how are you, babe?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I can't complain. I mean, I guess you could say over 30-some-odd years in the game, and I guess I still sound the same, so that must be a good thing.
You do. Your voice is identical. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times. I think, I'm blessed. I no drinking, no smoking, so it pretty much lasts as long as I can.
Nice. Even to hear you say 30-something years in the game, doesn't that blow your mind when you think of how much time passes and it's been that long?
Yeah, it's incredible. Sometimes when I sit back and I think, like, wow, it's been, 30-some-odd years already. And, to have that many years under your belt doing something that you love and still be able to be relevant today and still be able to do, maybe not do as long of a performance as I used to, but still be able to give a hell of a show and still work every weekend is a blessing.
Gotcha. It must be, I'm imagining that hearing from fans, right? Fans that you remember from back in the day, remember how you made them feel, and they still have that same feeling. That's got to be good as an artist, because you're connecting with your fan base, and this is almost like a lifelong connection, because they haven't forgotten you.
Yeah, I have a wonderful relationship with my fans. I think what it is that I have more than the average artist, I have a one-on-one relationship with them when I meet them. Like, I'm not the type of artist that gives out autographs. I give out hugs. I give out advice. I'm one of those type of artists where people can see me anywhere and know that my same persona on stage and my same persona on records is actually how I am in real life, I pretty much just keep the folks happy. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I'm the type of artist that is hands-on, and I think that has
right.
a lot to do with my longevity, because
right.
I'm one of those artists that just, I've never been one to, sit me in VIP and rope me off. I've always been in the crowd. I've always been one to invite people up on stage. I believe in sharing the spotlight and,
Right.
That's just the Shante in me.
And you know what's really cool about that? For someone that has the reputation for being a battle rapper, that's not what you think of. Like, I'm not thinking of a battle rapper wanting to give me a hug or wanting to be my friend. You just kind of go up there and do your thing and take people out. Now you're setting this whole other side of you.
Well, with a true battle rapper, your attitude is not, your aggression is only towards your battle opponent. You don't have to
right.
be aggressive all the time. So, once I hit the stage, then, I do have there's a different way about me depending on what type of show I'm doing. But
gotcha.
Other than that, I'm still just Shante, and, I always have been, and I think people identify with that. And,
right.
people say in a minute, like, okay, well, she's a great battle rapper, and people say I'm a little too humble with it, but I'm all right. I'm okay.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm all right. I mean, I can say I never lost. I'm all right. I'm undisputed champ. I'm all right.
I love it. Talk on the topic of battle rapping, is there something that you got to do to get yourself in a zone to get ready, or do you just get up on your fire and it's gone?
Well, I mean, I have what is called, what they titled it throughout the years, Nipsey Russell Syndrome. So I've never had to do any preparation for a battle. I've always been able to just spontaneous, just rhyme on the spot. Everything's always been spontaneous. I've never done the same show twice. Even my performances are spontaneous. So, when it comes to me, I guess because I've never had that pressure of preparation, I just never felt any pressure behind it. So, no, there's no certain ritual that I do beforehand. Oh, but I do take 5 minutes before I get on stage. And 5 minutes when I get off. And I think that's like my transition period. That's like the moment I go from Shante Shantae to Roxanne Shantae. So, you know, and then going from Roxanne Shantae back to Shantae. So I take 5 minutes before. I don't really like to talk and touch or anything. And then, you know, 5 minutes after, almost like a Tyson in his prime. You know how he just takes you know, just pace the ring for a second and then do what you got to do and then pace the ring for a second and get out.
I mean, that guy was like a lion walking around that ring, man, in 5 minutes before. He was like pacing around. And if you're a reporter watching him, man.
just like a lion. He takes those 5 minutes before, he paces, then he bounces, and then he paces, and then he rests.
Right. Let's go back to the beginning, if you will, when you first broke on the scene. As I mentioned off the top, the age of 14. That's just unimaginable in my mind, because, you know, what I think when I was 14, I wasn't doing anything responsible. I was just a complete mess. To think that, you know, you're rocking crowds and entertaining and battling and rapping, it's just phenomenal. Sort of talk about that, because like I said, I can't connect with that at that age, and it's hearing that just blows my mind.
Well, growing up in the 80s and growing up in one of the largest housing projects, matter of fact, not one, the largest housing project in the world, which is Queensbridge, hip-hop and music and going to park jams and DJ battles and things like that, the norm. So at 14, it was already part of the norm. It wasn't something like, oh, my God, this is what we're going to prepare for. It was like, okay, you're good. This is what we're going to do. It was almost like representing my block, representing my crew, and it came fairly easy to me. My first battle took place when I was about 10 years old, and it's actually documented, because I think a hip-hop historian went and, like, found my opponent from all those years ago and asked him, you know, how did he feel about it, and it was like a big interview and everything done regarding it.
Hannah?
But, yeah,
I was 10 years old.
For $50, my mom actually took me. And she took me, and it cost her $1.50 in bus fare. And she was like, when we get here, you better win this $50. She's like, now you sure when we get here, you going to win $50? And I was like, yes. And she was like, okay, well, I'm going to get the bus fare together. And she got the bus fare together, and she took me to a place called Woodside Projects. And I actually had my first battle there, and I can recall the DJ taking his records out of the crate and then turning the crate over for me to stand up on. And my mother, all I can remember is my mother saying, "Now win this $50."
So how old is your
so
opponent?
I became, he was about maybe 17 or 18.
Wow. You're crushing egos. You know that, Roxanne, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. But I guess being known as a battle rapper before even being known as just a great rapper was just a moniker or a label that was placed on me. It's like, okay, wait a minute, just the little girl with the braces. And it got to the point of where a lot of places in New York wouldn't even allow me to come in, because there was a lot of money to be made in battle rapping then. You know, you figure back then to make $500 was a lot of money. To make $1,000 was a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, and to have somebody, like, to have a little girl come in and win it, you know, that was a lot of money.
Sure. Wow. That's incredible. I think it's incredible. So you crush that guy's ego. He probably never picked up the microphone ever again, I'm guessing.
Right, because I actually didn't even get my start making records in New York because of that, because so many egos were tied up into it. That actually, my first record, I made my record in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is who
I
got my deal.
Wow. Now, how did you get there? I mean, that's 10 years old. I'm assuming you're still in the park doing your thing. And when did you actually get that opportunity to get on record?
I was 14 years old, and I was going to do laundry for my mom, and the building... The laundromat was located under the building in the project back in the days, and it happened to be under the building where Molly Mall, where DJ Molly Mall happened to reside. And he seen me out the window, and he said, "Hey, listen, when you go put your clothes in the laundry, come upstairs. I want to ask you something." So, you know, it's a very trusting environment, a very trusting neighborhood when you're on your block, because everyone knows everybody's mother. So it was nothing for someone to get out the window like, "Hey, listen, come upstairs. want to ask you something, and because they're older than you, you go upstairs and, you know, see what they want. And when I went upstairs, he was like, listen, I have this song here called A Big Beat, which is the underlying beat for that song that's out called Roxanne, Roxanne. So
right.
I heard that you could freestyle. Let me just hear you freestyle. And I think I gave him like 7 minutes because I knew I had like 10 minutes before my dryer stopped. So I was like, well, look, we need to be able to do this in 10 minutes. And he was like, okay, let's go. And then he just played it, and then I just did a complete freestyle saying that my name was Roxanne. And I was like, okay, look, I got to go. And he was like, but wait, wait, wait. And it was almost like one of those Cinderella stories. It was like, okay, look, I got to go. You know, my mother's clothes start burning. I'm going to turn into a pumpkin. So I got to go. You know, and I remember later on that night, because he was already on the radio, and what they would do is they would play new music from new artists every night on their show. And he took the cassette tape that I had done. He actually took that and he took it to the radio station and he played it that night. And I remember my phone ringing in the middle of the night. And, you know, this was a time where you only had one phone in your household. And that one phone used to ring so loud, you'd be just praying that somebody died, because it's the middle of the night. My mother was going to have a fit. She was very strict.
Yeah.
And I pick up the phone. I was like, hello? They said, you're on the radio. I just hung up. And I pinched the phone now. I was like, look, there won't be no radio announcements tonight. You know, not in Miss Peggy house. So I did that. And the next day when I came outside, because in the song I said, you know, my name is Roxanne, but they call me Shantae. People automatically knew that's that battle girl, Shantae.
Right.
Because look, you know, and that's how they gave me the name Roxanne.
Right. So you can't hide at all.
Yeah.
No. So, but here's what's really interesting, because if your mom had supported you back when you were 10, wouldn't she have been happy to know you were on the radio 4 years later, being heard and recognized? Wouldn't that be I know the phone was ringing loud in the house that night and all, but wouldn't that be a good reason?
No, she wouldn't care what was going on. After midnight, that song don't ring.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Listen, if it wasn't somebody like Barry White or Marvin Gaye or Rick James or something coming out, listen,
as far as she's concerned,
that was something that took place in the daytime.
Gotcha. Understood. I get it. And you know what? I had one of those situations in my house, too. In fact, I vividly can remember one night answering the phone. And now we had a second phone, and it was, I don't know, it was like 11 o'clock, and some girl called me, and I answered hello. And she picked up the other phone and said, what you doing on the phone? And, I mean, that was embarrassing. But, you know.
Exactly.
I get it. It really sounds like your mom was one of your biggest fans and really supportive of your career.
Oh, absolutely. That she was, absolutely. I can't say that she wasn't. You know, you had a lot of parents who were like, look, this hip hop thing, the whole world thought that hip hop was a phase, and no one knew that it was going to last as long as it did, because maybe we would have taken it a little, you know, we would have taken it a little more serious as far as what we thought was going to happen. I came from the generation that thought, okay, well, you know what, hip hop only has about 5 more years before it's over. That's where my generation came in at. You know, had we known that it was going to be around still today, we would have looked at it differently, because we looked at the rappers before us, and each time you went to it, everyone went through this stage or this phase where it was like, okay, you know what, now we're at the age where you got to grow up. Like, music, hip-hop was that genre of music that you were told you were going to grow out of. Like, you couldn't be an adult and still do it. So
you
always put a certain age limit on hip hop because you felt that, okay, you can't do this once you're 21. You need to transition to
listening to
R&B. Yeah, you know, you couldn't do that. You know, there's no way that you're going to play hip hop in your house and you're 40-something years old. Something's wrong with you.
So, you know,
we were always told that you are going to outgrow this. You know, this is the music for young people. I think that is the reason why. They have such a hard time accepting the hip-hop artists after a certain age, because still in our minds and still embedded subconsciously is that hip-hop is a music for young people and you will outgrow it.
Right.
Where country artists, we're told from the beginning, you know, we can actually watch a country artist grow with their music, and we will buy their records from the time they're 7 to their last album when they're 70. and not feel anything about it. Just look at it like, oh, you know, that's just such and such. And never once look at the transition of how old they got or anything like that. Still would be the same fans from the beginning to the end. But that's not what was taught with hip-hop. With hip-hop, it was taught like, oh, they're too old to be doing it now.
Exactly.
Oh, they shouldn't be doing it. And so with that is the reason why hip-hop has what it, you know, has that opt-out age, you know.
Gotcha.
And I feel like there was always a lot of pressure on artists to do everything really fast. Like, I think that's the reason why so many young artists today, you know, my whole career, my career spans 30 years. I've only done 2 albums in 30 years. And I still work as much as everyone else. Now, you have a new artist today where in 2 years they've done 30 albums.
This is true.
You know, where they feel like you got to get everything out right now. You got to do it all. You got to do it all. You got to do it all.
Right. Right. No, I think it's an interesting take on it because when you really do look at it, and look, the difference between then and now are clear and obvious. No one's going to say that there isn't. It has evolved and it has changed. And I know for many artists and even fans of that you know that grew up with classical hip hop. And that, notice I don't like throwing the term old school classical hip hop out there.
Right.
They listen to it like, you know, it doesn't. You don't feel the same. I mean, even when you talk about, you know, everyone hearing your music on the radio back when you were 14 years old. That doesn't happen now because we're just inundated with so much music all the time that you can't tell what's new from what's not new, man.
Exactly. Exactly. And now you figure you have so many, what they've allowed is they've allowed the non-talent factor to get into hip-hop, which means now there's no bar set for what needs to be a requirement. So anybody can just make anything and it'll be considered a rap record, where certain genres of music, they still have the bar set. If you're a rock and roll artist, you still have to be talented enough to play an instrument. If you're a country artist, you still got to sing. They're not going to let you just can't get up there and just do anything, you know. But with hip-hop, they, you know, they've allowed the non-talent, and because of that, that's why it's so overcrowded and oversaturated, and it has been, you know, the talent has been diluted.
As an artist as yourself that's, again, been around for 30 years, I guess that's kind of difficult to see and watch, knowing from where the roots came from and how far it's developed and really how much it's had to overcome to see where it is now. It's got to be tough to watch. I mean, as a fan, it is from my perspective.
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like all of the people who sit back and participated in the civil rights to make sure that everybody had the right to vote, and then sit back and watch for the year of the election that we had a low voter turnout, and you know what you went through in order for everyone to be able to vote. And now you got people who don't even vote and have the right, don't even realize what you went through in order for them to be able to do that. So, yeah, sometimes it can be rather hard, you know, sit back, especially myself, because I'm not just a hip-hop artist or a rapper. I'm considered to be a female hip-hop artist. You know, when I got in the game, there wasn't a title for female rapper. You know, they came along with that title. I remember when Curtis Blow told me, I remember the very first time I heard that title, and he said, well, we can't let you be the best rapper, but I could tell you this much, you are the best female rapper they'll ever have. And I was like, but I didn't want to be just the best female rapper. I just wanted to be the best rapper. I think that's the reason why my records were so aggressive, and I was always, you know, I think someone just recently did an article where they talked about everyone that I battled, and I think they named everybody.
How many battles have you had, Roxanne? Any idea?
I can't even say, but I know I don't have any losses, so I'm okay with that. I mean,
that's all that matters.
I can't tell you my total wins, but I know I don't have no losses.
It's whatever and oh. That's all that counts.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. It's whatever and oh.
I love it. I love it. I tell you what, Roxanne, we're talking about music back in the day. Let's take a pause and give our listeners a chance to hear one of your tracks. How about Have a Nice Day is a song we're about to play. You'll stick around for a minute while we play that song for our listeners? You don't mind?
Absolutely.
For sure. Here we go. Down with the Kings. Here's Roxanne Shanté. Have a nice day.
Roxanne.
Back we are, Down with the Kings. You just heard Roxanne Shante, Have a Nice Day, right here on Maximum FM Hip Hop. When you hear that song, Roxanne, Have a Nice Day, what kind of memories come back to you? I mean, this was in the height. You were a member of the Juice Crew. I guess the only female member of the Juice Crew at that time, putting out tracks. What does that song bring? What kind of memories does that song bring back for you?
Well, what it does for me is it actually, you know, just reminds me of my brother. You know, a lot of times people say you have a lot of different crews that get together and then they break apart. But for me and my Juice Crew brothers, they are truly my brothers. So when I hear certain things, it just reminds me of them, whether it's one of my old records or one of theirs, you know, and just to think about how far I've come. So, yeah, it doesn't take me back to, like, just one specific date. It kind of, like, just reminds me of, you know, my mark in hip-hop.
Right, right. Well, certainly an important era. I mean, the term that we hear oftentimes used is the golden era of hip hop, and I mean, that's what many will argue this day and say that's when music was at its all time best. And when you look at the artists that came through the era, yourself being one of them, and you know, the members of the Juice Crew, Kane and G Rap, and you know, Craig G. I mean, the list goes on. But I'm imagining there's a sense of pride knowing that, you know, you were a part of that class.
Yes, it was definitely an honor, and I wouldn't trade it at all. I wouldn't even trade it for a better contract with more royalties.
No doubt. You know, bring it up to date. You know, recently there was an article, I guess I read in the Business News, or the Sprite, the company, pop company. You know, they're starting to put rappers' lyrics on their labels, and Nas is on there. I think the campaign is called, you know, Obey Your Thirst, or no, Obey Your Verse rather is the name of the campaign. That's incredible. For hip hop,
yeah.
No, it's gone that far. And from the perspective where you're at, that you've seen that development, that's got to be incredible when you think about it.
Yes, absolutely. And what I've noticed is the first phase of them that they put out now is the Nas, the Biggie,
mm-hmm.
Tupac, quite a few of our of great hip hop artists. And I think that what it does is it allows our children and the next generation to see that hip-hop was once about the verses more so than just the beat. So I think that it's definitely a bonus for hip-hop.
For sure. No, it absolutely is.
I'm sure I'm going to pick up a few cans of Sprite because of it.
I'm going to get a case, man. I might just do that, man. Not open any of them.
Right.
No doubt. Well, Roxanne, I really appreciate you taking the time and being on Down with the Kings and talking about the good old days, because there certainly were a lot of them. And, you know, what we strive to do on this program and on the station is really acknowledge what was before us and artists like yourself that have made major contributions. And appreciate you being here, Roxanne. Thanks.
Well, thank you for having me. You know,
absolutely.
I'm always down with the king.
I love it. Very good plug. Thank you, Roxanne. I love it. To our listeners, we'll be right back.